Today's reading is in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 49. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, A shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, There will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. Our reading today is a bit short, but let's go ahead and look at a few things that we can draw out of this for our spiritual meditation and thought today. First of all, Jesus is correcting some misconceptions and misunderstandings about what he came to do and the impact of his time on this earth. He says, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. He's on a divine mission of bringing judgment and even difficulty that he finds distressing. He's not saying that he wants to cast fire on the earth, but he understands that that is the impact of his work. He says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. He knows what he came to do, and he's using this term baptized to describe his suffering. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 35, it says that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. These two thought that they were asking merely for some measure of glory. But Jesus says, in order to get to that point, you've got to go through the same kinds of things that I'm going to go through. And I don't think they understood that at all. But Jesus is telling them, you're going to go through a lot of suffering as well. Now, history tells us a lot of the things that the apostles faced, dying in terrible ways, undergoing a lot of terrible persecution. So we know that they did experience some of this suffering. Not the exact same thing that Jesus did, but suffering for him nonetheless. I've always felt myself imagining what it must have been like for Jesus to know everything he was going to go through. I mean, we see him in the garden before he's crucified, and he's praying with great anxiety, and he's asking, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, speaking to the Father. So we know that it is a source of great anxiety to him to know what he's going to go through. But even here, he knows it, and that anxiety is still present. But overshadowing the anxiety is what Jesus knows the plan is. The plan to accomplish the salvation of men's souls. And so that plan and that goal overrides that anxiety in his life. But then he begins to describe another impact of his time. He says, "Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Well, there's going to be division within families. And the reason that he singles out families versus any other kind of division is because we think, well, you know, family is the type of people that'll stick with you through anything. He says, you're going to be divided over this. And you've seen likely examples of families where some were faithful, some were not. And that's one of the toughest things a family has to struggle with, is a family member that is not faithful. You know, it can be a spouse, it can be a child, it can be parents, it can be, you know, extended family, it can be all sorts of examples. But nonetheless, it brings great stress to the family to have to deal with that. And you might be in the majority or you might be in the minority as a faithful Christian. So this divide between those that believe and those that do not believe brings this division. The world likes to believe that Jesus was this great uniter and that he just brings peace to everybody. But in fact, he is the source of division simply because he brings the truth. And at any time the truth is spoken, there are those that listen, there are those that don't. There are those that accept, there are those that reject. And so as the bringer of that truth, yes, division was going to come. That separation was going to bring great anxiety for those that experience it. That's a little bit jarring to us. I think that no matter how much we try to defend ourselves against the seeping in of those worldly views of Jesus, they do come in. And so we read this and we're jarred a little bit by it. And then when we face some of this division with friends or family, we're surprised by it. We're distressed by it. But Jesus told ahead of time, this is what it's going to be. This is going to happen. Now, why does he tell them all this? It's because he wants you to be prepared. And if we can be prepared, then when we face those things, we can already have developed the conviction and the discipline and the self-control to be able to persevere in the face of that division or persecution without shrinking away from it, without giving up our faith, so that we can be found faithful and be welcomed into that heavenly abode with him. That's really what he's talking about, is that commitment and conviction that is needed. There's going to be some unpleasantness. There's going to be some pain that comes with these experiences. And if he can prepare us for it ahead of time, then perhaps we can deal with it in a righteous manner, and we can have perhaps even some positive effect on those circumstances, and certainly would have the positive effect of not losing our faith. Perhaps then what we need to be praying for today is one simple thing, to have the courage and the conviction to be faithful to him in all circumstances, no matter what we end up facing, no matter how much pain might even come along with it. Be faithful to Jesus in everything so that we can be welcomed into that home with him. Thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.